Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
Dirty D, shocker.
Technical difficulties with Derek Benigni.
Well, you know, I haven't had a problem in weeks until you showed up, so... Oh.
I see. Well, I had to come here to class up the show. I was talking to your wife on Saturday.
Well, hold on. Before we get into that, I already have to preempt you.
Uh-oh.
So congratulations. Your first show in 2 months, and you've already been preempted. But from the ECHL headquarters in Princeton, New Jersey, the ECHL announced on Monday that the San Francisco Bulls have ceased operations immediately, and the team will not compete in the remainder of the 2013-2014 season, as outlined in the collective bargaining agreement with the Professional Hockey Players Association. All San Francisco players on ECHL contracts are deemed unrestricted free agents, effective immediately. The ECHL will release an update to the 2013-2014 schedule as soon as possible. So there's breaking news. I guess the one nice thing about being in the Western Conference now is you're guaranteed a playoff spot. So who was the team that had the...
Bakersfield.
Bakersfield is going to come through. They must have known.
They said if you don't, if we didn't make the playoffs and you signed up for season ticket this season, you would get free season tickets. Well, now they're guaranteed a playoff spot because everyone in the West is
getting in. That is called good marketing right there.
Yeah. it's unfortunate for the Bulls. I mean, they were drawing decently last year. Their attendance was down this year. But it sounds like the biggest problem with that was their lease with the Cow Palace in San Francisco was terrible. Their owner had gone on record saying that they were spending $31,000 a night to put on home games.
Yeah,
and you got to draw a lot more than 2,800 fans or whatever they've been drawing to make that work. So it's unfortunate for them and the few fans they do have, but things will move on, I guess, and we'll see what happens with the players they had and the. I think the schedule is going to be interesting to see what the league does with that too. They did not have any games scheduled against Eastern Conference teams, so
yeah, it really has no effect on us until we make the championship.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So. We'll see. Any other breaking news you'd like to preempt me with?
No, that's it.
Okay. So can I go on with my story
about
your
back
wife?
To your thing about classing up the show.
Yeah. So I was with your wife on Saturday.
Oh, God, nice.
And so I ran into her at the Ford Center, and she said, "I'm so excited for Iceman Live on Monday. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome." Because it just hasn't been that entertaining. So now it'll actually be entertaining. Now, I might be paraphrasing a little bit, but...
I doubt it.
Yeah. So I told you
It's tough when you go home and you say, "What did you think of the show?" And she says, "I didn't listen." I said, "Was something wrong with the internet?" And she said, "No, why would I listen?" So...
Well...
It's tough. It's tough.
Tough crowd.
But it's nice when she's making fun of me about the show, because that means she's not making fun of me about the Toronto Maple Leafs, so... Which
well,
happens
that's
quite
gift.
Often.
That's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. No
so,
doubt.
So I told you that I was going to give you crap about what Rebecca told me. You said you were going to give yourself some crap. So
yeah, going back to Iceman Insights back in November, which I think was our last show.
Yes. Yeah, the Nixon administration.
There was a couple of questions that you asked me for my opinion on hockey-wise. And one of them was, with the injury to Steven Stamkos, did I think that the Tampa Bay Lightning would make the playoffs? And I said, Stamkos, that team has no depth. Without Stamkos, they're just going to fade like a rock through water. And, that Valtteri Filippula guy just I finally had to break down and pick him up on my fantasy team. So, no, Tampa Bay was going to – they're going to do just fine. In fact, boy, he's going to come back healthy right after – as they go into the playoff push, and they've got to be them and Pittsburgh got to be number one and two in the Eastern Conference to make it to the Stanley Cup as far as favors go right now.
Well, I think
and Soupy's Devils. Oh, yeah, because as long as they don't have to play any more outdoor games in front of a national audience.
Whew, yeah.
That one was tough. So,
anything else you're going to give yourself crap about?
Yeah. The other question you asked me was, what did I think of the Thomas Vanek trade to the New York Islanders? And I said, when you have an opportunity to get a guy like that, a guy that is a top-tier talent, one of the top 20, 25 players in the NHL, you make that trade. You don't worry about a Matt Molson. You don't worry about giving up a first-round pick because this is a guy that's going to get you into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're 14th in the conference now.
They're behind Soupy's Devils.
Yeah, they traded away Matt Molson and a top five pick for an unrestricted free agent that's going to beat out of there as soon as July 4th hits.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, this is the man who picked the Vancouver Canucks to win the Stanley Cup last year.
I did do that as well.
How'd that work out for you?
As well as it worked out for them, they got swept. And I didn't get the ability to skip a show for 3 months, so...
So before we move on to Iceman News and Notes, I realized I'm not wearing the proper attire. If I'm going to do a radio show with you in front of a live audience, I'm missing an accoutrement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So hang on just a second.
I hope it's a glittery fedora.
No glitter.
There we go. Yeah. All right. I like this.
Yeah.
I feel underdressed now.
Yeah.
When they take pictures and put it on Facebook, everyone's going to think I'm you.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
That's unfortunate for you.
My wife won't know who to go home with on Wednesday night.
Should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
We're like 6 minutes. This is pretty typical. 6-7 minutes in, and we haven't even gotten to the first section on the notes.
Iceman News and Notes. Did I skip a section already?
No, you're good.
All right.
So the Icemen are leading the North Division, 21-9-8.
Yeah, explain to me, and they're playing fantastic hockey. And one of the questions I was actually going to have for you and the rest of the fan base was at the start, but we never got around to doing a show. But we came into this 11-game homestand at 41 points, and we had 11 games to go at home. And I thought, what are the chances we will beat last year's 57 points during this homestand?
Pretty good.
And I thought that was a pretty good, a tough question to ask. And now... going 4-0-0-0-0-0-1, it looks really easy now as we're sitting there with 50 points.
Yeah, so tied with Cincinnati, we have 50 points, but we do take the division lead. The first tiebreaker is regulation and overtime wins. We have 20, they have 19, so we're in first place. 3 out of 4 points over the weekend against Greenville, finally beat the Road Warriors.
2 years. How many people felt really confident when we were up 3-0 in that first period? Raise your hand. How many people were a little nervous being up 3-0 in the first period?
I'll be honest. I turned to my wife, Amanda, and said, you know, we can still lose this game. Thankfully, we didn't. I was glad to be wrong.
I had a feeling we were going to come out like we did. In fact, I mentioned it to Kelly Wonder from OA that I was expecting a 4-1 victory. I just had a feeling it was time to blow their doors off. So I was pretty confident once we hit 3-0. But it is pretty amazing that every game this year we led in that first period. We scored first. We were up 1-0 or 2-0 and just could not come out of there with a win. So,
yeah.
But a great game on Saturday night, and you could tell the guys had a lot of fun. They had a lot of fun at practice today too. So.
Yeah, Saturday was a great bounce back. The game on Friday, you know, you get the lead early in the third, and then you give up a weird, fluky, seeing eye puck bounce of a goal in the final minute, and that's one of those things that can be really deflating. But it was good to see the team bounce back the next day and play really well on Saturday. Anytime you can go out and jump up 3-0 that early, force a team to take their timeout 5 minutes into the game, that's a really good sign.
And watch their coach just scream at their players. How many got a good visual of that? He's a pretty high-strung dude, and he lays it on the line. Rumors are that when we were in Greenville, one of the referees told him, he said, just shut up already. So I guess he was constantly on the referees to the point that the referee just kind of threw him under the bus right there on the ice. But he's an intense dude, and boy, they gave up those two goals in 3:26, and he called that timeout, and I knew what was going to happen, and he was just – rah, 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 rah. So, was, and imagine that. They didn't bounce back.
No,
so.
Yeah. Can't believe they didn't respond to that.
Yeah.
We didn't talk much about Friday. There wasn't a whole lot to talk about Friday, but I did want to mention, how about that Peter Sakaris fight on Friday
Ooh,
night?
New heavyweight in town.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to corner Guy Lepine, but I want to know what French is for the heavyweight of Quebec. So, or something, so I can give him that name. So
then,
did you happen to hear that
Sakaris the cruiserweight?
No, he's heavyweight all the way, man. Did you hear the interview I did with him for EvansvilleIceman.com?
No.
Oh, it was beauty. I said, new reigning heavyweight for the Evansville Iceman. And I said, you're 11 fighting majors behind Matt Krug. What are the chances that you can catch up to him in the next 37 games? And he said, Derek, I'm going to take care of it before the month's over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I mentioned in the corner club, though, that the guys, you hear it all over and over again from all the players about how much fun they're having in the locker room and everything else, and that they're a really tight-knit team. They do everything together, and they're a good group of guys. And when we go on the long road trips and we've got the sleeper bus, we have that lounge area in the front where it's two couches and the TV's there. And that's where everyone kind of congregates until everyone gets tired and heads off to their bunks or whatever else. And sometimes Peter will get in there and like one of the things that the guys do is they talk about, you know, guys that they play with. Oh, yeah, I play with this guy and I play with this guy because we got that NHL network on and so many everyone's played with everybody and knows everybody. So you get a lot of insight. And every once in a while, Peter will just be like, yeah, he played in the queue. I fought him. I dusted him. Yeah, he was in the queue. I fought him like three times. He didn't want anything anymore to do with me. So he was always talking about that. He's talking about his big right hook and everything else. So, boy, he was upset on Friday night.
You know, he fared all right in the
yep.
fight, too. I was pleasantly surprised. The guy he fought is only 6 foot 191. It's probably the first time he's ever been in a fight and actually had a size advantage.
Yeah.
But Sakaris handled himself pretty well.
Yep.
I was pleasantly surprised.
He was throwing them, that's for sure.
So let's see. Next bullet we got here. Mike Clemente. Do I need to say anything else? 4-0-2 since he returned from Springfield. 178 goals against average. 938 save percentage since he came back. He's absolutely in the zone, and you're going to talk to him a little later tonight.
Yep, 8-10. He'll be in.
But, man, he's
wearing his pink tie, hopefully.
So, him being in the zone and playing well is incredibly important. This team, I looked it up, we are now 19-1-4 when giving up three goals or less.
Yeah.
And you figure if Clemente's in net and playing well, there's a pretty good chance we're going to give up three goals or less.
Well, and it's something that Jeff Pyle's harped on all season long is about discipline. Discipline not taking penalties to give the other team power play opportunities, and discipline to play defensive hockey. Stay in the system. Don't go out randomly doing your things and everything else. And when we do it, it works. So we get caught up every once in a while in the running gun mentality.
I thought, wasn't that Greenville scouting report on us? Didn't they say
yep.
that we're a running gun?
We're
team?
A running gun. In fact, when we won 6-1 on Saturday night, as soon as I got my first break on the post game show, I texted Coach. I'm like, "Nice running gun win, Coach." And he responded back, "That's what I do."
So, yeah, after the weekend, six-game point streak, the Icemen have now got a point in 12 straight games at home. The last time we lost a game in regulation at home was before Thanksgiving. Were you even hired then?
Man, before Thanksgiving?
That's about when we did our last show together.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Despite all of this hot streak, though, we're second in the Eastern
Conference.
That back
before Thanksgiving was when we were complaining about how cold it was because it was 38 degrees outside.
Yeah. That's a warm day now.
Whoa.
So we're second in the Eastern Conference, but despite how well we're playing and being second, we're only 7 points ahead of ninth place. So winning games during this homestand is really important, especially when you see that after this homestand, 19 of our last 28 games are on the road. So this team, keep doing what they're doing because they're going to need every point they can get when the end of the stretch run comes and they're on the road more than they're in Evansville. It's going to be a tough road to hoe.
Today in practice is one of the first times I heard Coach address the players and talk about first place, talk about South Carolina's 7 points ahead of us or 9 points. I didn't check the standings, but we've got three games in hand. Every other practice this season, he has talked about pushing down nine, which is that idea of we just got to make the playoffs. Just got to play well enough to make the playoffs and be playing our best hockey once we get to when it counts. So he is the whole entire season, he's been more focused about teams 8, 9, and 10 than he has been worried about, oh, we have to be in first place in the Eastern Conference. So just kind of interesting. And, I mean, how amazing is it Monday afternoon on Martin Luther King Day, Kalamazoo comes in. They're 2 points behind us. We lose that game against Kalamazoo. Yeah. We're tied with them for second place in the division. And great come-from-behind victory for us and get that 3-2 victory. And they've kind of struggled since then, and we've collected 3 more points.
Yeah, and we're starting to get a little more consistent scoring from the top of the lineup. Early on in the season, it was over and over again talking about how, you know, this team is winning with balance and nobody's in the top 20 in scoring. I looked, and we now have 3 guys in the top 20 in league scoring. Jeremy Langlois is tied for 9th. Nathan Moon is tied for 13th, and Matt Shepke is tied for 18th. So we have 3 guys in the top 20 in scoring in the league now. So a little more top-heavy scoring than we've had, in part, I guess, because of the call-ups and injuries and stuff. So it's forcing guys to take on a little more prominent of a role. But
yeah, but one thing, the other side of that, though, is those guys are up there because they get a lot of assists as well.
Yeah.
But you look at, I think we've got 6 guys now with double-digit goals because Levier's got 12, and Seidel has 11, and then Sakaris and King have 9, and Beaulieu just made number 10. So we're close to having 7 guys with or 7 or 8 guys at double-digit goals, and we've just passed the halfway point. So we're getting tons of goal scoring.
So, we could realistically have 6, 7, maybe even 8 guys flirt with 20 goals at the end of the season.
And you think when you only play Levier and Sakaris are on the third line, King and Shepke are on the second line with Seidel, and Langlois and Beaulieu are the first line. So it is all kind of spread out through that.
This team doesn't have a traditional top line, second line scorer, and a checking line as the third line. It's 3 lines that can kill you on any given night. Also, Langlois first in the league in rookie scoring. He's leading all rookies in the league, even though he's played about 10 games less than everyone else. And
He hasn't played 10 games less than Wade Megan from Cincinnati.
Yeah, he's red hot. Yeah. This one's for Larry. Matt Krug. Tied for third in the league among all of the defense. So
I saw a poster at the game, and I'm trying to figure out how to make this work. But there was a girl, she's probably about 9 years old, and she had made a sign, and it looked awesome. And it said, Krug is a thug. So it was spelled K-R-U-G-T-H-U-G, but it doesn't. I'm trying to. Do I change it to Krug is a thug and just. It's not the first time that I've changed a last name by Larry Falegula. So do I change it to Krug and make all the other broadcasters change it to Krug? Krug the Thug.
I like that.
So thinking about it.
Hmm. So last little note in our news and notes, I wanted to mention attendance. I think it doesn't seem like it's been that long ago that we were really reliant on rivalries to have good attendance nights. Look at these numbers. Recently, in the last month, we played Gwinnett, had 8,149 there. Played South Carolina, had 9,458. And then this weekend, we had 66-13 and 78-87 against Greenville. We are now 8-0-2 at home when there's more than 5,000 people in the building.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. There's the key.
Yeah, so you pack them in, and you're loud, and the team responds. The proof is in the pudding. I think something cool that really struck me after Saturday's game, I was walking to the car afterward and walked by the garage on Sycamore, and I hear people in the garage, woo! And it's reverberating back and forth and out into the streets of downtown Evansville, and it was awesome. But I think the thing that strikes me the most as far as the growth of this team and the fan base and how the community has embraced the Icemen is, this is a story a few people may have heard, but I really like this.
Okay, we got to take a commercial break, so I'll launch this story.
Okay.
All right.
We'll go to the break, yeah.
All right. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to Iceman Live on the flagship station, WEOA 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM.
Iceman Insights presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Way Off the Beat Cowbell Guy.
Mr. Way Off the Beat Cowbell Guy.
You've got your cowbell and your drumstick. and absolutely no rhythm.
I think you're just jealous.
You're not in sync with the music. You're not in sync with the Jumbotron video. But you're having a blast anyway.
That's 'cause I'm the man.
No matter what, you remain oblivious to the fact that, yes, they really are laughing at you, not with you.
Everybody loves me.
So we salute you, oh Prince of Percussion. Because when you march to the beat of your own drumstick, you're not in sync with that either.
Mr. Way Off the Beat Cowbell Guy.
IcemanManiac.com, WIIR, Evansville, Indiana.
And we are back. Iceman Live, sponsored by Coors Light, hosted by Backstage Bar and Grill, downtown Evansville, right across from the Ford Center. Where were we? Oh, you had a cool story about fan experience in the Ford Center.
Yeah, well, actually not in the Ford Center. Well, sort of. So Chad Burley. Everybody know who Chad Burley is? Yeah.
What is he? Isn't he Beefcake?
Beefcake Burley, yeah. Jet. So Chad Beefcake Burley, that's what Tommy Mason always introduces him as because he is one of the off-ice officials at the home games. So Chad said a few weeks ago at this point, he's at the bank cashing a check or something, goes up to the teller, and she asked for ID and didn't know who she was at all, didn't know this woman from Adam, gives her his ID, and she looks at it and then looks up at him and goes, "Are you Chad Beefcake Burley?"
That Tommy Mason, he's no good.
Yeah. So there you go. If you get a nickname over the PA system in Iceman games, suddenly that's how you're known in the public.
Yep.
So
the Ford Center is just an amazing place, and the players talk about the fan base here and wanting to play here and wanting to play well in front of the home crowd because they're so loud. But you know you got a nice building when you watch the visiting team come in for the pregame skate, and they're taking pictures. They got their cell phones out, and they're taking pictures of the building. So we got a nice little gem here, the house that Vol built,
with
as I like to refer to it as.
Some of these teams, they might want to take pictures of fans too, yeah. Not knowing what
come
that's like.
Now. I thought you were talking about the attendance that we've had and everything else. I was pleasantly surprised with the attendance we got on Martin Luther King Day. I thought being a Monday afternoon, Warwick County having to go to school because of the snow days and everything else, and a lot of people still have to work on Martin Luther King Day, and we had a decent little crowd, yeah, for 1 o'clock on Monday. So
yeah,
good work, maniacs.
And it's worth trying because if you do it at 7 o'clock on a Monday night, you're not going to have a crowd bigger than that
probably.
Anyway.
So,
may as
no
well.
Doubt.
So we'll move on.
To where are we? Injury and transaction reports?
Yeah, 38 games into the season, we're up to 97 man games lost due to injury and illness.
Pittance.
Yeah.
Absolute pittance.
This year, or last year at this point, we were over 200 man games lost. So Brian Patafi must be doing a better job this year. He's trying to save his hide.
These poor players. We got Adam Stewart came in 2 weeks ago, and he comes off the ice after his first practice, and I introduce myself, and I like to double check with the guys for pronunciations on hometowns and last names and size and weights because I got to deal with all that stuff. And Patafi starts right in on him, and it's pretty cool. We talk about the tight-knit locker room, but Matt Shepke comes up and about four other Icemen, and they steer Stewart away from Patafi, and they're like, "He's got plenty of time for all your stories, Patafi. Jeez, the kid just got into town." So they're all swooping in to save the kid from Patafi's story. So, yeah, he's got a lot more time to – same stories, but a lot more time to tell them now.
Yeah. Transactions are the best thing for Patafi because he can tell the same old stories over and over again,
yep,
and have a new audience.
Yep.
So, 97 man games lost. We're at 35 different players have dressed. We were over 40 last year at this point, so that's down as well. Dylan Clark's still out. He's missed 29 games after having hip surgery, but he's supposed to return at some point next month. He's skating again. That's good. Have you seen him lately?
Yep. He skated again today. You just watched the progression. Before, he would get on the ice, and he was just kind of corral the pucks and everything else. And then after all the guys left, he would shoot some more and practice turns around the face-off circles and things like that. early last week, end of the week, two weekends ago. He started wearing the green jersey, the non-contact jersey, and taking part in drills, and now he's kind of jumping in with every other line rush. So he's right there, and he's just coming along.
That's good. Andre Bouvet-Morissette still out, likely out for at least the rest of the regular season after having that shoulder surgery.
He's out for the season. Yeah, he's
playoffs
yeah,
are off yeah, the table
yeah,
too.
Playoffs are off the table.
Gotcha. And then Joe Lavin, who will be up here shortly, missed Saturday's game after taking a slash to the wrist on Friday. Not a major issue going forward from what I've been told, but I guess you'll talk to him and find out for sure.
I wasn't going to call it a non-major issue after I talked to him about it. Jeez. So what you're saying is if he doesn't skate Wednesday, then he's a sissy. Is that what you said, Michael Shockley, about Joe Lavin?
That's what Patafi told me.
No.
Also on the transaction front, we currently have four different Iceman players from this season's team who are up in the AHL. Thomas Larkin and Austin Medeski are in Springfield. Matt Lowry is in Bridgeport. He's played 19 games there. It doesn't seem like it's been that long since he got called up, but he's been up there for 19 games now. And most recently, Patrick Kennedy got called up to Utica. He has played 5 games with the Comets with a C. They actually know how to spell Comets in Utica.
Yep.
Tom Zanoski left the Icemen to go play in Austria a couple weeks ago. Left on good terms, though. I know there were some fans on Facebook that aren't Icemen fans that were bad-mouthing him for walking away, but that was a deal all along where Pyle brought him in knowing it was going to be a short-term
deal. Yeah, Zanoski played for Coach back in Gwinnett. Tom had played over in Germany, didn't have a good experience, and so he came back here. This was last season, came back here, wanted to get into shape again, and Coach said, hey, you can help me out. You can help help me teach these guys the power play and everything else. And then when you're in shape and you get the deal that you want to get, then you got to take it. And in fact, Tom kind of felt a little bad about leaving. He got a really nice deal, and he said, I don't know, Coach, maybe I should stay. And Coach said, no, this is what we did this all for. This is why you got in shape, and this is why you came here to do this, was so that you could get this offer. You kind of have to take it. So that was it. But, yeah, it was all in the works from the very beginning. So we knew it was only a matter of time, and it's just one of those things you do at this level is you got an opportunity with a guy like that can score like that, and so you make room for him, and he makes your team better, and then you hope the other guys develop to be like him after he leaves.
Yeah, 19 points in 19 games, that's pretty good. Yep. If you can have that around,
player of the week as well.
If you can have that around for 19 games, it's better than having it around for no games. So best of luck to him over in Austria, and now that he's back in Europe, he can go by Tomislav again, his given name.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Tomislav, yeah. Born in Croatia, so anyway.
Yeah.
What am I doing trying to educate you?
It's just he was part of Leaf Nation, so Leaf Nation will continue to flourish over in Europe as well as it does here.
Yeah, it's flourishing all right.
Yeah.
So
you need a lot of manure to flourish sometimes. So
the latest new guy we have in town after Zanoski left, Luke Oakley, as you mentioned earlier, acquired from Bakersfield for future considerations. He had 35 points in 37 games as a senior at Clarkson University, which is a darn good hockey school, and scored in his first game with the Icemen on Friday.
Called by me at the second intermission break.
Really?
Yep. That game on Friday night just had that feel of playoff hockey, 0-0, tight checking, couple of good scoring chances, but then even better saves, and you just felt like whoever got that next goal was going to, you know, it kind of felt like overtime. So I had Ian Frazier on in his typical interview slot, and I said, who's going to score for the Icemen? And I picked Oakley, so I looked brilliant once again. So that undoes.
When was that first time?
Oh, Lord. Well, give me the commercial break, and that'll give me 3 minutes to think it up.
Jeez. Okay, last move that I was sworn to bring this up, so we'll see if you have anything to say about it.
Oh, you didn't get Tyler Hines on here.
No, that's true, yeah. He's new, too. He was claimed off of waivers.
Yep.
He got a regular shift the other night with Lavin out.
Yep.
Looked all right.
Looked all right.
And then the move that we have to discuss, Alan York traded to South Carolina for cash considerations. Any thoughts?
Money is good. Alan York is awesome. He's a just consummate professional, just fantastic in the room. But Garrett Bartus played so well. Garrett Bartus got noticed in training camp. He looked really good in training camp. He played great in that blue-white game. Got on coach's radar. Then both guys get called up. Garrett comes in. He does well. We come back. Or both guys come back, Clemente and York, and now we got a three-headed monster, and it was just, well, we can't trade Clemente because he's not our property.
Right.
He's Springfield's property. And York has more value than Garrett Bartus, even though we know Garrett Bartus can step in, but Alan York is a name, so that's just the way it was.
Yeah.
So
to the uneducated, he's a larger asset.
Yes. So that's just the way it is. So that's where we're at.
So any theories as to why it just didn't work out for him this season? Because, yeah, Clemente's been very good, and Bartus played well enough to basically force Pyle's hand, but you know, York's numbers were not up to par compared to the other two or his career numbers. So,
well, in the
why?
ECHL, but his numbers up in the AHL looked
were
fantastic.
Right.
So, in part, I think there's an interesting mentality when it comes to players and goaltenders, speaking from my extensive men's league experience. But some goalies, you just play different in front of other goalies. And I think, in part, we played a lot more loose knowing that we had Alan York behind us. And other times we play a lot tighter because we have a young Garrett Bartus in the net. So I don't think you can't ever just say, well, we've got this goaltender and this goaltender. And because the games that the 16 guys in front of them are playing are not necessarily the same. So I think there's quite a few times where Alan York was kind of hung out to dry on some 3-on-1s and some 2-on-0s and some multiple rebounds left in the crease without any help that just ended up in behind him. So,
yeah.
And it's just the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah, this team goes through stretches where, you know, Pyle's whole game plan is keep it simple, chip it in offensively, play responsible defensively, don't take unnecessary risks. And every now and then the team seems to get away from that, and that's when things go south.
It's not human nature. It's not hockey human nature, because all you want to do is score and not back check. That's hockey human nature. So you're kind of fighting against instinct to, if I just wait out here at this blue line, eventually a puck will come my way and I can score and girls will give me kisses. So that's the hockey mentality.
So try to score and not back check. Is that your Leafs typical game plan?
Yeah, well, I did. Yeah, we could throw them on tomorrow night. Yeah.
Phil Kessel. So
yeah,
that's all for that segment.
Cool.
Anytime 24/7. Where do they go?
IcemanManiacs.com.
Hey, you got it right this time.
Yeah. Well, it's written down for me. So, and you can click on the red the red graphic on the Maniac message board. And always remember to go to the last page of the message board. Because if you're reading about Ryan Ford and Aaron Nathem, you are 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you got to be smarter than the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hence all my technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Why don't we do the Brian Patavi Tweet of the Week? We'll do a commercial break, and then we'll get Joe Lavin up here.
All right, sounds good. Brian Patavi Tweet of the Week. You can follow Iceman trainer Brian Patavi on Twitter. His handle is bpatafi, B-P-A-T-A-F-I-E. This was a recent one. This is a pretty typical Brian Patavi joke. He said, quote, "I dreamed all night I was a muffler. I woke up exhausted."
Yeah.
Yeah. Same old jokes. But while we're on the topic of funny tweets, I promised I would mention this on our next show. The exchange that took place on Twitter between Kaylee Schrock and Kevin Ziegler. For those that didn't see, Kaylee Schrock from the Fort Wayne Comets.
Suck.
Thank you. That's pretty nice. I like being able to do that with an audience.
Yeah.
Not just you.
I'm hoping you're going to
clean this up a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Kaylee Schrock said, "The best part about getting an x-ray is when the tech says I look like Ashton Kutcher." And Kevin Ziegler, a.k.a. Kevinsville's response on Twitter was, "Hey, Schrock, I thought they use ultrasounds to scan
lady parts
these days, not x-rays." And Schrock actually favorited that. Pretty awesome. So there you go. If you want tired, old, dusty jokes, go to Brian Patavi. If you want cutting-edge humor, go to Kevinsville,
I guess. There you go. Kevinsville, Section 102.
Yeah, somewhere
one,
like that.
119? Something like that. Something like that. I don't know. No? All right.
If Schrock's asking, it's section 327.
Cool. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to Iceman Live on our flagship station, WEOA 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is!
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
First Circus.
Steven Ricker's testicles.
D-Buddy. Broken penis. Vitaleri Filippula.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
That was totally wicked!
And we're back. Iceman Live. Sponsored by Coors Light. Hosted by Backstage Bar and Grill. Main Street, downtown Evansville, across from the Ford Center. And covered by our flagship station, WEOA. Joining me again up on the stage, Shocker. Dirty D, Iceman Insights live.
Yeah, I don't have a sound effect anymore.
No,
I can't do.
No,
and I can't do. Bzz. We need something for this show.
Live.
I don't know.
Birds and the BJs.
Yeah, Birds and the BJs. Talking about our affiliates, the Springfield Falcons, the Birds. They went 0-2-1 over the weekend. They're just 3-5-1 in their last nine, but they're still leading the Northeast Division. They still have the best win percentage in the entire AHL. Pretty nice when you can go through a 3-5-1 stretch and still have the best record in the league. Tells you how far in front they were. Meanwhile, in Columbus, the Blue Jackets are at Carolina tonight. They lost to Buffalo on Saturday. That snapped their franchise record 8-game winning streak. Who knew the Blue Jackets were the hottest team in the NHL?
And the second hottest team in the NHL with a 6-game winning streak was the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
And I was going to take a snip of that caption and post it in the Maniacs Asylum. That's a beautiful world right there.
Some weird, bizarro world. Very, very weird. And the Blue Jackets have clawed their way back up. Right now, they are in the playoffs going into tonight's game. So,
and our beloved Toronto Maple Leafs in second place in their division.
For the Blue Jackets, Nathan Horton has 7 points in 11 games since he made his debut. He missed the first 40 games of the season with that shoulder injury. 7-year, $5.3 million a year. Do you think he's going to live up to that contract or...
I think so. At $5.3 million, I don't think that's that bad.
Especially with the cap going up exponentially going forward.
I mean, at this time, I mean, that's like average salary at this point in the NHL. So
that's third-liner salary.
And, you know, he wanted to go there, so I think he will play well. I don't have quite as much hope in the 7-year, $7 million contract that my Leafs gave Dion Phaneuf.
Yeah.
I think we're going to end up buying him out about 3.5 years into that one.
Another guy who's perhaps overpaid, Marian Gaborik for the Blue Jackets. He went
like,
out
he's
on,
a complete non-factor now. Yeah. That's how well this team is playing.
Yeah, he went out on November 14th, sprained his knee, came back on December 21st, but broke his collarbone in his first shift back.
Yeah.
That's like the story of his career.
Well, and it's it happens, and it's not just Joe Lavin or 43-year-old defensemen that play in the beer league. But you get a couple of injuries, they just kind of pile up all at the same time. So.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. The guy's got a ton of talent, just can't stay healthy. But it's kind of that Eric Lindros kind of.
Nah, let's not compare. Eric Lindros is a whole lot more of a hockey player than Marian Gaborik.
I don't disagree with that. So,
but what do you do with Gaborik when you come back? I was talking to Brother Jake about it, and I put him on the fourth line and give him 7 minutes a game.
Maybe he'll stay healthy.
And maybe throw him in on the power play, but I would not mess with the chemistry when he comes back.
Yeah, the top lines are still playing well, yeah. Through Sunday's games, the Blue Jackets are just one of six NHL teams that are in a playoff spot and have both their AHL and ECHL affiliates in playoff spots.
And this is my first year as a broadcaster for the affiliates, so I think you
it's
can obviously make a direct correlation
right, yeah.
between mm-hmm. I mean, this was what I was brought in to do, and that's what I told Jeff Pyle the first day that I interviewed with him.
You equal victories.
What's that?
You equal victories.
I do.
Yeah,
hey,
right.
1 year, one championship. I got the ring to prove it. That's all I got to say.
That's true. So
that's we call that 1,000.
So the Blue Jackets are one of six. The other five, let's see what the crowd thinks of these teams. The L.A. Kings. Not good. Anaheim Ducks. Pittsburgh.
Nice. Wait, Anaheim Ducks really liked their outdoor
the orange.
Jerseys. The orange, yeah. Especially with Anaheim across the goalie logo.
Looked like a bunch of skating pylons.
And it should be mandated in the entire world that anytime you do an outdoor hockey game, Kiss has to perform.
I thought you were
mandatory.
I thought you were going to say
fireworks, Kiss, outdoor hockey, mandatory.
What about
forever.
Beach volleyball? Even if it's out in the cold,
I could either. I'm good with it. Either way, I'm good with it. But Kiss has to be. They're in full makeup, man. They rocked it.
It's like Brad Perkins.
Yeah, it is like Brad Perkins.
The other teams that have their affiliates in the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yeah, I'm with you, Dixie.
Glad the other Penguins left. Penguin fans left already.
Your beloved.
Oh, there is one. Why did?
Oh, Anita.
Oh, I expected you to smack her or something or throw your shoe at her.
Yeah. I mean, a cat fight in the audience.
We're looking for ratings here. It's ratings month.
your beloved Toronto Maple Leafs.
How about that?
Because the Marlies are in and Orlando.
Orlando.
And
Mike
then,
Duco playing well for him as he bounces back between the two affiliates.
And my beloved St. Louis Blues.
How about that?
There we go. Save the best for last.
Yeah. So speaking of your St. Louis Blues and affiliations, when Matt Krug went with Brett Ponich the other night, who were you rooting for?
Oh, I was rooting for Krug. I was sort of scared for his life. That's the second time this season that Krug's fought somebody who's 6'7".
Yeah, but this is,
but Ponich actually can go.
Well, and Ponich is a different kind of 6'7". Because Jean-Denis Pepin is a 6'7", kind of looking like a... Who is that character in VeggieTales? The real stringy long guy? But Brett Ponich is like 240 and he's thick. That was... Yeah.
I'm not touching
he
that.
Made Matt Krug look small, is how big Brett Ponich was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt, yeah, that's true, Jack. Matt did say, strongest guy he's ever faced. That's saying something, because Krug's fought a lot of guys.
Yeah. Yeah, he's right up there. Like, he's got Sakaris-like numbers at tilt, so.
Yeah. So, that's all for that. We
cool.
move on.
We're going to take a quick message, and then we'll finish up here. You are listening to Evansville Iceman. What are we doing?
Iceman Insights.
There's so much stuff for me to remember now. We are live, Coors Light. Beer, WEOA, messages, pump.
Listen.
Now Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley. And Daddy.
And
Daddy.
And we're back. Final segment here, Iceman Live, sponsored by the flagship station WEOA, 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM, as well as Coors Light. Thank you, Brianna, for taking care of me in that last commercial message. Brianna is awesome, and she came up to the press box to actually watch a game while I broadcasted it. And I did the math, and I think by the end of the season, I will say our flagship station, WEOA 1400 AM and the Magic 98.5 FM, over 1,700 times.
Math is hard.
But every time I said it with her in the press box, she would lip it. She would mouth it because she has heard it so many times on the other end. So, but anyways, this is our segment that we like to call, Hey, Brittany, what's on tap?
Hey, who?
Brittany. She's the bartender over
oh,
there.
Oh, okay. I thought you were calling me Brittany.
No.
I was like, what? Do we...
No.
Okay, what's on tap? The 11-game homestand continues Wednesday night. The Icemen host Toledo at 7:15. That's the makeup of the postponed game from January 7th. It is the last time the Walleye will come to town this season, and it is a Domino's Pizza weeknight.
Yeah, and it's actually nice. We're going to play Toledo, and we've actually played other teams
since the last time we played them. Yeah.
Yeah, I may actually have to review who's on their team.
Yeah, you may have to remember that we're actually playing Toledo.
Yep. Toledo did defeat Greenville yesterday afternoon.
Hmm. Well, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
They're tough at home.
True. Yeah, they've beaten us there, too.
Yes.
And then Friday and Saturday, the Icemen take on Reading at 7:15 both nights. First time the Royals have been to Evansville this season. Saturday is Heart Night, and there is a season ticket holder post-game skate that night. The Royals coming to town is interesting because that's who Aaron Jens is playing for now. He is riding a 5-game point streak. Also, Kevin Walrod is playing for Reading now. He's played 7 games for them. He had been here for 5 games as an injury fill-in a little bit ago. So
really liked his game.
Kevin I did Walrod's too, yeah. Game. And we thought we were getting healthy and didn't need him, so we let him go, and now we could use him again.
Just the way it works sometimes.
Yeah. Royals started the season a bit slow, but they've been hot lately. They are 8-2-0 in their last 10. However, 7 of those 8 victories have been against Toledo and Elmira, the worst 2 teams in the East, so we'll see what kind of challenge they present. I think they're going to be good, but they may not be quite as good as their recent record indicates because they haven't been playing the type of competition that that they're going to see going down the stretch.
Yep. Skating down memory lane.
They want to reminisce about some great moments in Iceman history since last week was technically the ECHL's All-Star break.
Yeah, that was
quite an All-Star game, wasn't it?
Well, who cares? No one watches the ECHL All-Star game anyways. And no one wants to host it, hence the reason no one had it here.
Right.
And Orlando's hosting it next year, but that's more driven by the hotel and their ability to hopefully package visitors going to Disney World than it is the team itself. However, the team has already reached out to the rest of the ECHL team saying, we need lots of help. So this, if you want to see an ECHL All-Star game, you may want to plan on next year because it may be the last one in a long time. That's not official. It's just it's a really hard sell at this level. And it gets mixed emotions too because the league wants prospects that have AHL possibilities so that they can get scouts in so that the teams can get attention that way. But fans want to see their favorite players, which is how last year, nothing against Nathan Moon, but you look at our stats from last year, and Todd Robinson had ridiculous points compared to Nathan Moon, but Nathan Moon had AHL potential, so that's why he was selected.
Well, I think when you're minus 165, it automatically disqualifies you.
Not on a team that only has 32 points at the All-Star break. It doesn't.
True. So, anyway, our skate down memory lane, January 9th, 2010, it was in the second AHA season, which was the year that we won the championship with you as the broadcaster.
Exactly.
And the Icemen and Swander Ice Arena hosted the first ever AAHL All-Star game. Who was there for that? Pretty much everyone who's here tonight was there.
I don't think
that.
I was there.
Yeah, you didn't have to broadcast it, so you took the night off?
I think so.
So in that game, Iceman captain Isaac Coy had 2 goals. Aaron Nathan had a goal and an assist, and Ryan Ford was named game MVP. He had 5 goals and 2 assists in the All-Star game. And he also was responsible for the best part of the entire event. For those that were there, you probably remember during the skills challenge, the breakaway competition, Ryan Ford made a nice move, scored on Chi-Town Shooters goaltender TJ Fitterer. Ford then grabbed the puck, went back to center ice, dropped a stick, took his gloves off, took a silver Sharpie out of his pants, signed the puck, and casually tossed it back into Fitterer.
Wow.
And everyone who was there laughed their butts off.
He was a character.
He was indeed.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
He was one that will live in Iceman lore for many years.
Yeah, and there are a lot of Ryan Ford stories that aren't fitting for radio that make him even a bigger part of that.
Yeah, we can also share those off air as well. Let's get to a couple of quick questions from listeners.
Hockey 101?
Yep.
Going to do some Hockey 101. All right, this is something new we're going to try to do to make the show a little more interactive. Just little, not necessarily basic rules. We don't want to explain offside and icing to people. Just more idiosyncrasies and nuances of the game. So, first one, this is a popular one. I've heard this from many people, but Paul Higgs specifically asked for this. if we could explain plus minus and what you can learn from it.
Plus minus occurs when the puck come down, it go bang boom, and my arm go up, and
that's
then
icing.
Oh, that's right. Plus minus is when teams are at even strength. If your team scores a goal, you get a plus. Everyone who is on the ice at the time gets a plus,
except the goalie.
Except the goalie, because goalies have their own stats, because goalies are weird.
Right.
If you are on the ice and it is even strength, that means 5-on-5, 4-on-4, whatever, and a goal is scored against your team, all the skaters on the ice from your team get a minus. Now, the only other thing that comes into play is the power play. If you score a shorthanded goal, so there is more players than you have, you get a plus. If you...
if you give up a shorty, you get a minus.
If you give up a shorthanded goal, you get a minus. But you don't get any pluses or minuses when the team on the power play scores a goal against a team that is shorthanded.
Correct.
And it is a loose definition of defensive ability.
Correct.
So, but use loose, because just because a guy is a minus doesn't necessarily mean if you have Jacob Johnston, who is -3, and some other defenseman who is +2, that doesn't necessarily mean that Jacob Johnston is a worse defenseman because he's -3.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it as far as the players you're playing with and situations and
the lines you're being matched up against.
Right.
So you see Jacob Johnston, when Joe Lavin was injured and Thomas Larkin was called up to the AHL, and he was, Jacob Johnston was paired with Lauren Barron. They were getting third-line minutes. They were taking third-line responsibilities, and then those guys got called up. Jacob Johnston went from +5 to, -1, but he's number one on the – he was playing first-line minutes against their best line. So
right.
He was playing just as good as hockey, but that level of competition had been amped up.
Right.
So.
It can be a general guideline, but you can't – it's not a be-all, end-all of determining how good a player is defensively. Also, one thing to note, empty net goals do count as long as it's 5-on-5 before the goaltender is pulled for the extra attacker. So if you score 6-on-5 at the end of a game when you've got your goalie pulled, it still counts.
Yep.
And vice versa, if you've got the 6-on-5 advantage and you
yep.
give one up, that
you
also
get a
counts.
Minus.
So, yeah.
One other quick question from Dixie Helber and others. What does the half board refer to?
Well, you've heard this. It's called a half board. Some people call it the half wall. Essentially, it's the spot along the boards in the offensive zone about halfway between the blue line and the goal line. So kind of between the hash marks and the top of the circles, that general vicinity in the offensive zone. And you hear it most often during the power play, because a lot of times a player will set up along the half board, and that's kind of where they'll quarterback the power play from.
And the history of that is kind of when the outdoor rinks first started coming in, or the first even indoor rinks, they would just put glass in the back end, where like the NHL, where they just put the netting up at the ends and they leave the other open. Well, that's how the glass was. So the glass was all the way around, and then it stopped halfway up the boards,
right.
And then there was no glass there at all. So that's where the half board.
Yeah, it's where the glass ended. Yep. So it was just the boards only, the actual boards you can't see through.
Quick final thoughts.
Next show, next week.
Beef O'Brady's.
Yes, indeed.
After another 3 victories by the Evansville Icemen on home ice.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to Icemen Live on our flagship station, WEOA 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM. Game Wednesday night. We'll talk to you then. Good night.
We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.